All right, let's get to the Toronto Blue Jays, who won last night, are still in last place, and have some questions to be answered as far as asset management and a plan moving forward. We know that they are not going to, quote unquote, tear this down. They have too many good players that this team has had its share of injuries. We know the starting pitching, I won't say has been decimated, but has about a 50% injury rate, pretty close to.
Right.
You have Aaron Sanchez dealing with a blister now. There's all this talk about the synthetic seams on baseballs, but they won last night, and it was their bullpen that did it. Francisco Laureano, who was looked to be a bit of a trade chip, the value's plummeting to less than zero, which was a good movie and a bad trade value. Who on this Blue Jay team, in your mind, has trade value? Because they looked that they're going to lose a couple of guys for nothing, but who has any trade value at this point? And you're at it's ebbs and flows, John. You're at an ebb right now, and selling at an ebb doesn't seem to be the best thing to do. Do you wait until the offseason?
Well, Joey, very good points there. I would say Jay Happ has some value. Jose Bautista might have a little value. The guys with the big value, especially Marcus Stroman, probably aren't going anywhere, and nor is Josh Donaldson, based on what I can tell. So I expect, in general, it's going to be a relatively quiet deadline for the Jays in terms of any massive blockbusters. Again, Happ is an intriguing name. The Brewers have interest, according to Ken Rosenthal, here in the States. And I think that when you look at it, it makes a lot of sense. That's a very, very good fit between Milwaukee and Toronto. Milwaukee wants to find a way to get a little more experience. And also, Happ brings back the control for 2018 as well, so he really helps a younger club build for the future as well. So that is a pairing that makes a lot of sense. But aside from that, Donaldson, as we talked about before, both the Cardinals and Giants have called on him, or at least expressed interest in some fashion. And yet it doesn't really appear to me that the Jays are serious about trading him right now, that they don't want to concede that much of 2018. I think that you could find a way maybe to replace a Jay Happ in the open market. But Donaldson's a hard guy to replace, especially when you've already lost Edwin, of course, last offseason, and probably will lose Jose this winter. It would probably be too much for them to lose Donaldson and still say they're going to compete in a big way in 2018. So, and the same logic, I think, follows for Stroman. There will be interest in him, just as there was in Michael Fulmer from the Cubs to the Tigers. But I would expect the answer will be similar. When they get those offers in, that they don't want to concede that much of the future by trading Stroman. So I would say, in general, Joey, it's probably going to be a relatively quiet deadline, with the possible exception of trades for Happ and Bautista if the market breaks the right way.
The Jays are in Cleveland this weekend for a rematch of the ALCS, and if you said at the beginning of the year that these teams would be so diametrically opposed, you in terms of standings, you know that Cleveland was going to be at the top, if not tied for the top. But, you know, they're battling Minnesota for the Central. And Toronto's at the bottom in the basement. And, you know, the White Sox are the only team in the AL with a worse record. And I think Philly's got a worse record in the NL. But heading into this weekend, you know, the Indians lineup has struggled during their recent trip out west. But they don't seem to be panicking. They've got such great experience on that team. And Blue Jays going in this weekend, again, if they can win and take this series, you know, Estrada's looking to rebound for the Blue Jays after a pretty rough string of starts for him dating back to June 1st. He's gone 0-4, ERA almost of 10, allowing 38 earned runs on 52 hits and 36 innings. Not great at all. But in my mind, if you can put him on the right team and protect him, maybe he does have a little bit of trade value. I don't know that you even get, you know, I don't know what you get for him, but this guy, you know, he surrendered 10 runs in 8 1/3 innings over his most two recent outings. And you got Bauer going for Cleveland. What do we look for this weekend in this series? Any chance the Jays can sweep in your mind?
Very limited chance of that, I would say, Joey, just based on the way that both teams are playing right now. And Cleveland, as you mentioned, only in first place by a half game. We saw Minnesota yesterday reach agreement on a trade for Jaime Garcia. So they are clearly going for just a half game back, rather surprisingly, here at this stage of the season. Cleveland, I feel like the American League is still waiting for them to get going. Hasn't really happened yet, but everybody seems to think that it will. That being said, they actually do want a bat. And intriguingly enough, they were the other team that was in there on J.D. Martinez for the Tigers before he was dealt to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so it stands to reason, actually, if they were in there on J.D. Martinez wanting to get a righty bat, we could potentially see the Indians showing some interest in the Jays, either Jose Bautista or Steve Pierce. Not quite the same player as J.D., clearly, but at least with Pierce, there's some positional versatility. And Jose is a corner, you know, right field and DH bat in the same way that J.D. Martinez is. So I don't know if we can call it likely at this stage, but it would not surprise me if the Indians were involved there on J.D. Martinez. They might also be showing some interest in the likes of Bautista and Pierce as well.
Our guest is John Morosi, of course, MLB Insider, MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. And John, look, if you look at this Blue Jay team's been very disappointing season. You know, Cleveland, I wouldn't say has been disappointing, but as you said, they're kind of, people are waiting for them to break out because they have a pretty stacked lineup. They've had their share of injuries as well, but not as many as the Blue Jays. And they got Danny Salazar coming back to the rotation, which, you know, seems to serve a couple of purposes. You know, they can get a look at him again and gauge his progress, and he'll be able to start twice before the non-waiver trade deadline on July 31st and give him the chance to see if they might be in on a, you know, on a Sonny Gray. But tonight, and we've got, again, Estrada going against Trevor Bauer, who hopefully he's not operating a drone. If we recall, he suffered that fabulous drone.
That was a good little subplot of the ALCS last year.
With his finger was all, remember how bloody his finger was?
Right.
It was just awful. Yeah. It was just terrible. So, look, the Blue Jays bats bailed him out last night. The bullpen bailed him out last night. The starting pitching, other than, I mean, Marcus Stroman has been fantastic, and other than that, it's been hit and miss. But having a team this late in the season still within striking distance of a wild card when you're this close to July 31st and you're Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, it's a pretty tough position to be in as far as direction, is it not?
Well, Joey, I would say this, that with the wild card standings in particular, it's not the number of games you're back, it's the number of teams you're behind.
Sure.
And in that respect, it's similar to, I think, the way we look at the NHL playoff race around February, where you might, we're only 5 points back. Well, yeah, well, you have to climb over five teams. And I think that's where the Jays are right now, effectively. They're too far back, I believe, to really be in the conversation. And I think the Jays, to their credit, realize this. But the aspect of the Jays that's so intriguing to me, Joey, is the fact that they are leading the league in attendance for the second straight year, which the fans of Toronto deserve immense credit for. And I really think that is a factor here. The commitment of the fans of Toronto is, I believe, a driving force in the Jays not tearing this down. Because if this were a vacuum, and I can tell you this because Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins did it before. If they were drawing half the fans they're drawing right now in Toronto, Donaldson would probably be traded. Hap certainly would be, and Stroman might be, if they were drawing the crowds that Cleveland draws, which again you'll see their atmosphere from the standpoint of what Cleveland brings even now after going to the LCS. They're better this year attendance wise, but they're not as good as Toronto. No one in the American League is. So you look back at what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins did. Go back to 2009. 2009 season, they had the reigning Cy Young Award winner in Cliff Lee with a year and a half of control left. So it's just as much control on Cliff Lee as there was on Josh Donaldson right now and Jay Happ right now. And they traded him to Philadelphia for Carlos Carrasco, by the way, was part of that return. So I mentioned that, Joey, because in a pure baseball vacuum, the Jays have the oldest team in baseball, or at least on the opening day roster, they have the oldest team, and they're in last place. So when you have the oldest team and you're in last place, the GM manual says rebuild. There's no reason from a pure baseball standpoint for you to say, you know what, we could just make a couple moves around the margins and we'll be better next year. That's, to me, not really a very plausible plan. But what's stopping them from doing that is the fans. And that's to the great credit of the people of Toronto that they're still showing up and going out, and the passion for baseball is that intense that they're still there. And I do believe, Joey, that is why the front office is deliberately working against the instincts that they developed in Cleveland, which is a smaller market and has a different set of attendance and media parameters. And I believe they're working against those instincts and keeping the team together. And that's what's happening right now. I firmly believe it. If there's a quiet deadline, I can tell you without question that if there were fewer fans in the stands at Rogers Center, they would have made more moves, and they may well have traded Josh Donaldson before July 31st.
John, thanks for being on the program. The Blue Jay fans deserve immense respect and accolades and adulation from the team, from the front office. As you said, best attendance in the American League despite being in last place. It just tells you that this fan base wants a winner, and they're willing to support a team even when they're not a winner, as long as they know the front office is trying to do the right thing. And I think the front office is. It's just a tough position to be in. But as you said, if there were 30,000 empty seats at the Rogers Center, we would be having a different conversation, right?
Very much so. And again, that's a credit to the Toronto fans. They have put themselves on the baseball map with the way they've created such a fantastic atmosphere at Rogers Center the last couple of years. So that is to their credit, and I do believe that's one of the key factors the organization's thinking about right now here as they prepare these final 10 days or so before the deadline.